you would turn with me to Mark chapter 5, I want to talk to you about an extremely, extremely desperate man. A man that had society had written off, had excommunicated, had tried to chain even. A lot of you guys know this story, some of you don't, so just follow along with me. Now, let me say this too. Let me set the background for this. Jesus had just did something miraculous on a boat. He went to sleep in the bottom of a boat, and there was a huge storm on the lake there. And what happened was Jesus was awakened by his disciples. And Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and his disciples was like, whoa, you know, who is this guy that he can even control the wind and the waves and they obey him? Who is this guy? And so his disciples are coming off like this big time revelation of who Jesus is and what he can do on the lake. And so this next morning they're pulling up onto the shore. And we pick the story up in chapter 5 of Mark, verse 1. It says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. And Jesus got out of the boat. A man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Then he saw Jesus from a distance, and he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torment me." Then Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus said to him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for I am many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out from the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding in the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. And the herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw a man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave the region. As Jesus was getting back into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged him to go with him. Jesus did not let him go, but said, "Go home. Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has given you great mercy." So the man went away and began to tell them how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Jesus got off of this boat, and the first thing that he saw was a naked, crazy individual that was shouting at the top of his lungs with leg irons and wrist irons that had been broken, that were shattered to pieces. This man was not in his right mind. This man was insane. The Bible says that he was possessed by a demon called Legion, that were many. At least we know 2,000, because the Bible says that there was pigs that were grazing that was around the same. Can you imagine 2,000 pigs in the same place? That's insane. But here this this crazy man was possessed by this thing called Legion. And the moment that Jesus pulled up on the bank upon the seashore, this man that no one could contain, this man that was untamable, a man that would, in the midst of the midnight hour in the tombs, outside the city where no one else could tolerate him, with chains that were bound by his ankles and by his wrists, naked as the day he was born, howling at the moon, he ran to Jesus. Cut marks all over his body where the demons were telling him to cut himself, to harm himself. This man was beaten by his own self. He was crazed by something that was out of control. And yet when he saw Jesus, when Jesus stood on the shore and got out of the boat, this man ran and knelt down at the feet of the Son of God. Because he knew what kind of authority. It wasn't him that knew it. It was the spirits that were occupying him that knew it. Of what kind of authority that this man named Jesus had. And today I want to tell you that that same authority, that same healing power, that same delivering, that same deliverance that Jesus gave to that man can be ours today. Now, a lot of us may not be in the same boat where we're running around naked in the down velp in the cemetery. But we all have struggles. We all have things that we deal with. And the point of the story is not to show you how different this man is from everyone else, but to show you how similar his story truly is to ours. We can all relate to the parts of his mess, can't we? If you can imagine, we only have a snapshot of who this man was and a snapshot of what happened to this man. And if you can imagine, this man didn't just wake up one day and decide to go into the tombs and go crazy and strip naked and howl at the moon and take shards of broken glass and pottery and begin to cut himself. He didn't just wind up like that one day. It was through a series of events. And if he was married and if he was any kind of relationship, you know he had to have, that marriage or relationship had to have been severed, had to have been torn to pieces. If he had a job, you know that he was probably bankrupt. Maybe he had an addiction, something that he just couldn't get over. And he tried hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times and could not break the stronghold in his life. Maybe he had fears. Maybe he had doubt. Maybe he had unrestrained anger that he couldn't get a hold of. We don't know the story. We don't know why he ended up there. But we all can relate to the practical aspects of this man's life. This man struggled with all of that. Now, we all can share in his pain and learn from the story. Let's look at verse 11. Let's look at verse 11. 11 through 17. It says, a large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demon begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. He gave them permission and the evil spirit came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported to the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw a man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told them about the pigs as well. Then the people begged and pleaded with Jesus to leave the region. Now, Jesus did what no one else could do in this situation. He healed this crazed and demon-possessed man. Jesus teaches us one important thing. Life's struggles can never be truly healed without him. I know it may be cheesy to say this, but Jesus truly, 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 truly is the answer. He is truly, truly, truly the answer. Maybe you're here today and you struggle with something in your life that you've had hidden. Maybe everybody knows what you've been struggling with. Maybe it's something that you've hid for a long time. Maybe you're real good at compartmentalizing things. Maybe you're real good at hiding things that you're struggling with. Have you ever heard of a functioning alcoholic? My grandpa was one of those. He thought he was a functioning alcoholic, but he wasn't. The alcohol was robbing him of life, robbing him of love, robbing him of sanity. And today, those things that you hide, those things that you struggle with, maybe it's small things, but it's robbing you of big things. Know this, that without Christ, you will always struggle. Without Christ, you will always identify yourself with your struggle and not with Christ. Because the Bible says that when we put on Christ, we put on a brand new nature. That nature is no longer a defeated nature. That nature is no longer a sinful nature. That nature is no longer a nature that is unworthy. That nature is that we put on Christ. The Bible says that we are a new creation, that we are born again, that we are children of God, heirs with Jesus. That's amazing. That's like going into you finding out that you have a rich uncle that you didn't know about, and he had $1 billion, and you didn't have anything, and you were called into this lawyer's office and said, guess what? You had a rich uncle, and he gave it all to you. Can you imagine that? Or winning like $5,000 for the rest of your life, or $1 million per year for the rest of your life. That's what Jesus is doing here. When he died for us, and when we accept Christ, when we ask him to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, we get a new nature. We get a new way of thinking. We get a new way of struggling. Listen, before Christ, I didn't struggle with sin. I enjoyed it. Okay? And anyone that says you didn't enjoy it is lying. All right? Because sin is pleasurable for a season. For a season. But that season can cost you your entire life. Paul said, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is profitable. That means that we are to be self-controlled in our life. And the only way that we can be self-controlled is when we call upon the name of Jesus, the one that controls even heaven and earth, even the storms and the waves. He can control our mess. He can set us on a right course in our life. Some of us may be in a position in our life where we don't trust anybody, where we're suspect of everyone. And you carry that into your relationship with Christ, and you can't get victory, you can't overcome, you can't find joy, you can't find peace, because you don't trust. Allow Jesus today to set you in your right mind. Allow Christ today to take those shackles off of your feet, take those shackles off of your hands, get you in your right mind. This man was cutting himself and causing harm to himself. You and I need to realize that the struggles that we deal with, it doesn't mean that we're picking up pottery and cutting ourselves, but it means that we are cutting ourselves off from the true vine. And when we cut ourselves off from the true vine, we cut ourselves off from the source. We look good for a little while. Our leaves will stay green for a little while. The fruit on our limbs will continue to look red and ripe and juicy for a little while. And we can contain it and hide it for a little while. But what we're going to eventually do is expose ourselves for what we really are. And that is cut off. That is dead. That is that the fruit of our life cannot bear any substance. That the fruit of our life can have no benefit for anybody else until we are grafted back into the source, into the vine. So many of us have made the mistake of saying that we are the source and our willpower is enough, and that we find our roots in ourself. We are self-made people. There's nothing more sad in this world than a self-made individual. Because if you're relying upon yourself, you're going to take a fall one day, and it's going to be a hard thud at the end. I encourage you today to call upon the healer, the one that has all authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And he has given us not only himself a mandate, but he has given us a mandate as believers. And that is to make disciples. And listen to me, making disciples is a lofty mandate, but a mandate that you can do. But the only way that we can do that is to get through our struggles. The only way that we can get that is to get victory in our life. Because if we have no victory, we have no story. Amen? And if we have no story, then we truly cannot tell people about the way and the truth and the life. Because no one's going to believe us. Because they're not going to see any joy. They're not going to see any true peace. They're not going to see any true victory in your life. They're not going to see fruit if we do not have victory. And the only way we have victory is solely in Christ and him alone. Amen. We cannot have victory in ourselves, no matter how hard we fight, no matter how many meetings we go to, no matter how many meetings that we go to in those self-help group classes. We can never, ever, ever, ever find victory in ourselves. It has to be through the power of Jesus. Jesus gives us the power to fight. I say this all the time. If you're a believer, you don't fight for victory. You fight in the position of victory. The victory is already yours, but you have to fight for it. You got to struggle with it. It's like getting in the ring. You see that your opponent, the Bible tells you who your opponent is. It's the devil. The Bible says what the devil is out to do. What is he out to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy shows his cards. He gives you his hand. He tells you what he's going to do. Sometimes he's very subtle in what he does. But the Bible gives us a clear definition of what he is about. But because he has given us power and authority to overcome the enemy and to say to that mountain to be thou removed and be cast into the sea, the Bible says if you do not doubt but have faith, then it will be done unto you. And so when we fight in the position of victory, that means that we know who our opponent is, but we have to get in the ring. We've got to put the gloves on. We've got to confront our enemy. We've got to confront our struggles. We've got to confront our shortcomings. And when we do that, we no longer fight in who we are, but we fight in who he is, because he gets the victory. Amen? He is all powerful. He can see us through in our struggles. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. What are you struggling with? Do you have a past that is just riddled with mistakes? Maybe you're still hurting. Maybe it's habits or addictions that seem unbeatable. Whatever the issue is, making Jesus first is the only path toward healing. That's what I Am Second is all about. It's all about putting yourself in your proper place. Jesus told a parable one time. He said, if you go into a fine banqueting hall, everybody's dressed up. He said, never take the seat of honor. Always take the lesser seat. And he said, because if you sit in that seat of honor and it's not for you, you'll be humiliated. He said, but if you take the second seat, and they call you to be the one to sit in the seat of honor. And you see, that's the thing with us, is that we have to do the same thing. We have to take that lesser seat and save that seat of honor, because that seat belongs to Jesus. That seat belongs to him. Because when we set him in his proper place, which is above everything else, and put ourselves in that second place, I am second, and we put ourselves in that position, it's not that we put ourselves in a lower position. We are just putting ourselves in our proper position. Everybody say proper position. Now, Jesus is not interested in having more fans or religious people. He's not interested in those things. What he wants is you. What he desires is you. He wants your career. He wants your family. He wants your hurts. He wants your heart and your mind. He wants all of you. Why does he want all that? Because he gave all of that for you and I. Why does Jesus have the authority to ask those things? Because he gave everything for you. Everything for you. There's not one thing that Jesus withheld for himself that he did not first give to you. That's why he has the authority to ask those things. He wants to be undeniably and unmistakably first in your life. Because it is only through Jesus that your struggles can be faced. Through him that your past can be forgiven and your sins be washed away. So, what does that kind of life look like? Let's look at this crazed guy again. Let's look at 18, verse 18. Verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him go, but said, "Go home. Go to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell his story, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people was amazed. This man was radically healed by Jesus, and his first reaction was to follow him. Making Jesus first is radical obedience. Everybody say radical obedience. Radical obedience. We just think that that's the first step, but it's not. When you put your faith in Christ, that means that you're saying, "I'm no longer first. I'm tired of being first. I give up. First is not working for me." And so for every single one of us in this room, when we become radically obedient to Jesus and we give him our heart, when we renounce sin, when we say that we want to be born again, a child of God, that means that we are going in this direction and we turn and we're going in the opposite direction. That means that this life does not resemble this life. This life's hurts does not follow us in this life, because we have a healer, then his name is Jesus, and he is his desire, his longing, his greatest ambition for you is to heal you, to make you into a new creation in Christ Jesus. Those things, those old things that you dealt with are now passed away, and behold, all of these things have become new. The gospel is not complicated. It's not bound up with a bunch of rules and regulations. It's not bound up with a bunch of hoops. It's not bound up in a bunch of impossible hoops that you cannot get through. It's based on one thing, and that's a decision. It's based on one thing, and that's a decision. And that decision will determine the joy and the victory and the purpose in your life. That one decision. Now, it's also about learning everything you can about him, about Jesus, and obeying everything that you have learned. This demon-possessed man responded to God's grace with complete surrender and complete obedience. We often like to hide parts of our lives, but Jesus doesn't want part of us. He wants all of us. He wants every single part of us. He wants that part that we struggle with all the time. He wants that part that everybody else is just given up on and so frustrated with you about. He wants that part of you because he wants to demonstrate to you that he is the only way, he is the only truth, and he is the only life that can give you healing in your perpetual struggle. It's Jesus and him alone. Well, Pastor, that just seems so simple. Aren't you just kind of like devaluing what I'm going through? Not at all. Notice the demon-possessed man. Jesus didn't say to him, "I want you to go to this class. And I want, after 20 weeks, and after you repeating this phrase over and over again every single week, then you're going to be good. But I want you to identify with it for the rest of your life, because you're always going to be that. No, Jesus met this demon-possessed man. He wasn't intimidated by this demon-possessed man, because what had tormented him had to bow their knee to the Savior of the world. And it was at that moment that this man that had every struggle that you can imagine was instantaneously set free in his life. The Bible says that when all the townspeople came and saw and heard what had happened, they found this crazed and delusional individual fully clothed with no shackles on his wrists or feet. They found him in his right mind, sitting up listening. Wasn't crazy anymore. Can that happen today? You better believe it. You know why I say that? Because you're looking at one of those crazed and depraved individuals at one time in his life. I stand as a simple testimony at what God can do with a man that makes one decision. And you can be that person as well. Do I struggle? Absolutely. Do I fall short? You better believe it. If there's one thing I want you to know about your pastor is that I'm transparent, that I'm real. Now, am I going to tell you every single minute detail of my life? No. Who wants to know that? My wife does, but that's about it. But can I be transparent with you? Yes. That's why I want to demonstrate to you today that this Savior that we call Jesus is alive and well today. He's alive and well, and there's hope for your life. There's redemption for your life. If you've messed up 1,000 times, Jesus has always been there. If you've messed up 10,000 times, if everybody has called you hopeless and that you can't get past this struggle, you might as well just deal with it in your life. In other words, they're saying, why don't you just identify yourself as a failure? Why don't you just identify yourself as someone that can't overcome? Why don't you just identify yourself with someone that cannot cope with life for the rest of your life? And Jesus said, if you will listen to me, if you'll hear my voice, I'll come in and I'll make all things new in your life. I'll create inside of you a new desire. I will heal those struggles. I will heal those battered and broken parts of your life. Those jaded parts of your life, I will bring victory and glory. But you got to listen. You've got to obey. You've got to trust. And for some of us in this room, obeying and trusting and being vulnerable is very difficult. But the Holy Spirit, I believe, is touching some people's lives in this room, even as I speak, and is erasing and eradicating those things to where you were suspect or where you couldn't trust. Now you can trust. And if the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart this morning, I beg you to respond. I beg you to respond to his healing today. Now, while this man wanted to follow Jesus and learn from him, Jesus had another mission for him. We see in verse 19, it says, Jesus told this man was begging Jesus. He was giving his full devotion. He said, I want to be with you. I want to go with you. Everywhere you go, I want to go. But Jesus said no. And this is the reason why. Verse 19, Jesus told this man, he said, go home. Go to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Can you imagine what the people in his town were doing as he was walking through in town? I'm sure they were in complete and utter shock. I'm sure that they were going, whoa, is this the same guy that was cutting himself in the graveyard, that was running around bare naked in the graveyard? This guy that had shackles, this guy that had been contained for so long, and no one could subdue him. He would break chains and handcuffs off his hands and legs. Is this the guy, the same guy? This guy that's walking around in his sane mind telling people what Jesus had done in his life? Jesus didn't tell him to go to seminary. He didn't say, go to Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, and go and study and be a good Assembly of God pastor. He didn't say to go to Dallas, Texas, and to theological seminary or here or there or anywhere. He said, because of what you have received, you now have the authority to go tell and speak of. And that's what Jesus is telling us to do. He's telling us, go home. Go to your circle of influence and tell people what I've done for you. Tell them about the grace that I shed abroad in your heart today. Tell them about the healing that I gave you. He's not asking you to memorize the entire New Testament. He's not asking you to learn hermeneutics and all those things, which 100% of you in this room probably have no clue what that is. It's a study of Scripture and how to formulate sermons and all this stuff. What you learn in Bible college. But he's not calling all of us to do that. But what he is calling every single one of us to do is to go and to tell about the healing that we have received in our lives. And today, some of you may be sitting here this morning and you're struggling. You're fighting. And you feel like that you have no way out. Today can mark a new day for you. Today can mark a day that you were truly born again, that you had been set in your right mind, that you have had those shackles that not only have hurt you, but also feel familiar to you because you've struggled with it for so long. Today can be your liberation day. This man had a story to tell, and he wanted to tell everybody. This man's healing came with responsibility, and that is to go and to tell. Now, God has a story for all of us as well. It may not be as dramatic as being naked in a graveyard, cutting ourselves, but it's none the dramatic anyway. You know, we don't have to have a dramatic story to make an impact in someone's lives. We just have to be willing to tell a story about our lives. Now, I encourage you today to tell your story. Maybe you have a story but no victory. Today, you can receive victory through Jesus and a story that will change the hearts of the hearers. This morning, I want you to stand with me. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity. I've been praying all week about this. I've asked the board to pray and leaders to pray. When I come to church, I have a high expectation that what I say is going to matter. And I have an expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to move in the midst of us today. And I believe that He is, and I believe that He has, and I believe that God is really speaking to our hearts today. And what I want to do today is I want to pray over you. Today, if you're struggling with anything, if something in your life is causing you to not have victory, causing you to continue to be in the same pattern of your life over and over and over and over and over again, today can be your day of liberation. Today can be your day that you're set free. So let's bow our heads. I want to pray. Father, I come before you today, and I thank you so much that you gave us these clear accounts of your authority and of your healing of struggles. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are all powerful, that you have all authority. Even you said, Jesus, that all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth and under the earth. And Lord, today, I know that it's only by you that we receive healing. It's not because of good speeches or good sermons. It's not because of our attendance. It's not even in our singing, but it's It's through you, Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you would just begin to bring healing to people's lives this morning. That you would receive healing. They would receive healing in their hearts and their minds. That you would cause them to be overcomers and not being overcome. That you would cause them to be the head and not the tail. You've caused us to rise above and not to be consumed and crushed by being beneath. And today, if I could have the deacons come forward and their wives, I want to give you an opportunity this morning as everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. If you're dealing with something today and you want healing and you're saying, I'm done with it, I'm laying it down, I'm no longer entertaining it any longer. Today, I'm through. Today, I want victory. Today, I redefine who I am in Christ Jesus. If that's you, I want you to be courageous enough to come, because there's people here that's going to love on you, that's going to pray over you. That's going to believe God that healing will flow into your life today. I want you to come. Come today. Allow the Lord to bring healing over your life. Come today. If the Lord's tugging on your heart, I want you to come.